It's Phil Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Very excited to go to Wizard World Comic Con because you know who's going to be there and you know who's in the studio.
Wendy, that would be one Ralph Macchio, the star of Karate Kid and many other great films. He's sitting right over there. Hi,
I'm
Ralph.
Sitting
how are
right
you?
Here.
You look
right.
Just like you, by the way.
I did. Well, I can't. You know, I thought about that this morning. I figured I'd bring the me that looks like me. So it works, and especially when we're at Wizard World and the fans are lining up. That it's always good to try to look like yourself.
It is, and yeah. Don't you love when the fans come up?
It's awesome. It's amazing. When I first started occasionally dabbling in this Comic-Con world, I didn't know what to make of it, and they've become so popular. It's crazy. I mean, I think some of that has to do with the amount of superheroes that are being put on the screens and on television these days. I always joke that I'm the only one in the building who doesn't have a superpower. But it's amazing how... You know, you make people happy, and they really, sort of embrace these roles you play or things that you do, 30
we
years
love
later. Some
nostalgia.
Of these, yeah, it's the nostalgia. That's the word. The nostalgia yeah. word is a big part of it. And that's the category, the pop culture nostalgia of where I fall in line, whether, you know, obviously the Karate Kid's a big, big part of that, but the Outsiders as well, and My Cousin Vinny. And then I get the grandmothers who watch Dancing with the Stars. How many grandmothers come to the Comic-Cons? They bring their grandchildren, and they bring me Dancing with the Stars photos.
Oh, he's
and,
so cute.
Yeah, right, exactly. You should have seen him. So I get all these generations and the young kids, too. And the kids are probably the thing that gives me the biggest charge when I see a 6 or 7 or 10-year-old kid.
Sure.
And they want to show me their crane kick, or they bring me the Outsiders book, and I sign it Stay Gold. And,
but
you know,
kids
they
have
scream
to
out loud, and they just love it.
The Outsiders. Yeah. My kids in school, most kids have to read that book.
Right, right.
And then they fast forward and watch the movie instead.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
But that movie was amazing in that every single person in the cast, some of them were semi-famous when you guys shot it, some of them not so much. But whoever was the casting agent on that is brilliant. Everybody went on to big things.
Yeah, big credit goes. Janet Hershenson was the casting director, but and she deserves a tremendous amount of credit. But Fred Roos, which is Coppola, one of Coppola's producing partners. Fred Roos came not his biggest break, but the one that was his first knocked it out of the park break was American Graffiti.
Oh,
so he cast
same
American
thing there.
Graffiti. And the Outsiders. I mean, that's, you know, he's sort of the choice of one at that time. And he was very, he just had a knack for finding the ensemble, you know.
Yeah, right.
Perfect ensemble.
And Francis Coppola, who is the director, and, you know.
What's ever happened with him?
He's in the wine
else?
Business.
Oh, he is, isn't
yeah,
he?
You're
and
right,
as,
I drink
and
that
as
wine.
He says, thank God for the wine business. I'm incidentally going to see him in November. We're doing a talk back for in Napa Valley, California, for the education program. They're doing, you know, because that's a book that's read in schools, The Outsiders. And so we're going to do a talk back. It'll be great to see him. But Francis also had a lot to do with how The Outsiders was cast.
Yeah.
He created a very theater environment, theater rehearsal environment. We all auditioned sort of together, which was just painful to watch other people. Usually audition one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's typically how it goes?
And yes, you just brought in, your turn, you come out, the next guy or next woman comes in, whatever. But The Outsiders, it was – everyone was in one big room. And Francis would just say, okay, you know, Dennis Quaid, you play this. Rob Lowe, you play that. Scott Baio, you play this. And Helen Slater, you play that.
Yeah.
And then he'd mix it up and come – So, and you never knew what he was thinking, you know, but he was trying to find the ensemble, right, as opposed to, you know, plugging and playing and seeing what would happen once you're rolling actual film.
I know that when you're auditioning and you're a young actor, Ralph, you do these auditions almost every day, but did you get a feeling with Karate Kid or with The Outsiders or any of the movies you've done, did you ever think during the audition, I really want and need this one. This one is going to be special.
That's a good question. The Outsiders is one I wanted because I read it when I was 12.
Yeah.
It was the first book, truly the first book I read from cover to cover without going, where are the cliff notes? How can I find
it? Right, because it was so
good. Let me
read
the last page.
Yeah.
I was a bad reader. I was, You know, any
that's
book that,
the book
any
that
book
gets...
that was thicker than a Hershey bar, I was like, oh, it's too long. Too
that's
long.
The book that gets the kids though,
yes,
because
it's
so good.
Yeah, and it was, you know, you could, there was so many characters you had the opportunity to relate to.
Yeah,
and I, not that I necessarily related to the Johnny Cade character, but I, his description was so much physically like I was, sort of the runt of the group, you know, dark hair, dark eyes,
sure.
The whole thing. So I connected with, and he was a sympathetic character.
Yeah,
great,
he was.
A great character.
Very much.
So with The Outsiders, I really wanted that part.
Yeah.
And even when, going back to that audition process, there were times when Francis had me read Pony Boy or Two Bit, or, and I was just like, no, that's not the part I want. Literally, look at me, like trying to direct the director. But so I, it took a long, and I, it was a long process, but I did, that was a huge win for me.
Yeah.
With The Karate Kid, I came in, I read for John Avildsen, the director, in his apartment. There was a whole bunch of guys out in the hallway, and you
he's
know,
just coming off Rocky at that point, right?
Yes, yes. So Rocky was his big,
he
his
was
big
in,
one.
Yeah,
won the Oscar Best Director for the original Rocky film, and he basically said to me, and we have this tape is actually on YouTube. My actual first reading of Daniel LaRusso is on YouTube. You can find it because he asked me permission if he could put it up. And he what he wound up doing, he intercut it with my first audition and Pat Morita's, and he intercuts them.
Mm.
And it's really cool. You can find it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And Avildsen, after he turned the camera off, he said, he goes, wow, you're a good actor. Have you ever taken karate? And at that point, I'm saying to myself, this is feeling pretty good, you know? This might happen, and at the end of the day, it did.
Yeah.
Had you taken karate before?
No. But he said, if I were you, I'd take a few karate lessons, which is
oh.
what you want to hear from the director. But then it took about 2 months of time before it came through. He knew,
yeah.
Avildsen's line to me when he called me, or I called him back after, I guess a week later, which the directors, they never give you their number. I mean, it basically you come in, you read, thank you
That's
very much.
It.
We'll
get
call
back
your agent
to you.
If you...
Yeah.
He said to me, I asked him what was going on, and maybe it was a week or two out of memory, old man brain, but he goes, listen, all I could tell you is unless I find Spencer Tracy sitting in Los Angeles, you know, you're my guy.
Wow.
That was pretty good. That stuff doesn't happen so much anymore.
Very rare. You have a son named Daniel.
Yes.
Is he named after the character in Karate Kid?
Partly, yes. Very much so. I mean, partly that, and my wife's best friend growing up is her cousin, who lives in Chicago. His name is Daniel.
Oh.
So she always had an affinity for that name. And with my name being Ralph, sort of old school, we were looking for something that sort of stood, could stand the test of time, be classic, but yet not
sure.
go out of style.
Sure.
And so my son became Daniel Ralph.
Makes sense.
So you do karate?
Oh, please. No way.
I'm an orange belt.
You're not. Well, you're way ahead. I'm like, you know, eggshell.
A light cream colored belt.
Light cream, like yeah. I could kick, and not so
you
much.
You don't
anymore.
Know your katas?
No, those days are long gone.
Oh my god!
But I appreciate it, and everything goes through. I like the eggshell line. I got to write.
That is good.
The eggshell.
Write that
down. That's a good one.
Ralph Macchio in the studio with us. He will be at Wizard World Comic Con. It's happening in Rosemont. You can go to wizardworld.com. You're going to be there today through the weekend.
Yeah, this afternoon and every day through Sunday.
Beautiful. More with Ralph Macchio next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're visiting with Ralph Macchio before he heads over to Wizard World in Rosemont. I have to tell you, Bill, we're on the air. We've been on the air for 3 years together here.
Mm-hmm.
No one really comes down to visit
mm-hmm.
us. No one really pays much attention to us.
Mm-mm.
There are 10,000 texts coming in. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ralph Macchio so freaking out. I had his posters all over my wall.
That's from me, by the way, Ralph.
I was just going to say.
During the break.
All the people from work are coming down, Ernie and Sarah and Stephanie. No one pays attention to us until we have a Ralph Macchio in the studio.
Oh, listen, I'm glad to give back.
That's how it is, Ralph. I know that when you're at Comic-Con, you're going to get a line of people who love you from Karate Kid and some people from The Outsiders and some from whatever other movie, but I'm there in your 8 is enough line.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
you're
how
way
about
back.
It?
Yes, my line is 9 was too many. But I listen... it gets a laugh, and that means I'm going to use it again.
Yes. But are you writing all this stuff down?
Yeah, no, I got good. I got good. I try to remember the good ones. But yeah, that was a great launch. That was my second big thing. I was in a movie called Up the Academy
with my with my best man at my wedding. Harry Tynowitz was your co-star.
Harry
in that.
Tynowitz, right? Chicago Harry Tynowitz. Yeah. Wow, that's
oh,
so
stop.
Funny. That's no. Absolutely.
Thanks for the mention, Bill.
You're welcome.
It was good. Nice. Well, I mentioned Up the Academy, so yes, I let him in. And then Eight Is Enough came, and it was I watched the show. I mean, that was when our television would have laugh tracks.
Yeah.
It was a great time for me. You know, moved out to L.A. for a little bit. And
you were not one of the Bradfords.
No,
were...
I was the rebellious nephew.
Yes.
I was like, okay, let's get us a Scott Baio type for this show. I was the life preserver that became the anchor. I don't know.
Scott Baio
no,
type.
It was good. No, I think that might have been it, that because he was sort of just coming
he was
up.
Hot then. Yeah.
And so it was good. Wow, that's a callback to 1980. Literally 1980.
That was must-see television, though, for us growing up. We're all about the same age, and that was something we always watched.
Yeah, no. It's...
But Dick Van Patten had that quality, I think, that Pat Morita had for you, where it was almost mentor father figure, right?
Yes, he was. He was one of the sweetest men I ever worked with, recently passed away, so he's sorely missed, Dick Van Patten. But he was, you know, if I did a scene with him, you know, I was young, up and coming, and trying to make sense of it, understand it all, and he would be very generous and offer little tidbits of information without notes and without it being like, you know, mandated notes and just very warm. And also, and as I've now have the wisdom to look back, he was also very respectful of the opportunities he had and did not take it for granted. And that you don't see very
often.
That's
very nice. That's nice to hear.
I'm wondering if you could put some headphones on because a listener wants to talk to you. Everybody is gushing all over the text line right now. And someone even says whenever I have to use a fake name, I tell people my name is Ralph Macchio. So if there are random girls or guys reaching out to your guest on Facebook, that's my fault.
Ah,
nice try, buddy.
I love it.
All right, this is Lynn on the line. Lynn, Ralph Macchio in the studio.
Hey, Lynn,
hey,
how are you? Good, I'm great.
How are you?
Very
okay,
well.
This is very funny. Over the weekend, my dad's selling his house, so I was going through my old room, and I found a sheet torn out from a Tiger Beat or a Teen Beat, and it was like 100 things about Ralph Macchio. So I've got one of them now.
Oh, this will be good.
These always come back to bite me in the, you know, in the ankle, shall I say. Go ahead.
Well, we knew you were a devoted fan of the New York Islanders team, but it says, your stereo is one of your most prized possessions. Your car, your silver blue Mazda, is another. And you go for girls who are down-to-earth, honest, and clean-cut.
Wow. Wow. You know what? I'd like to say it was a Mazda 626 light blue stick shift, and I bought that when I was on Eight Is Enough for $9,088.88.
Brand new.
Off the, I remember that number because my dad was with me because I, you know, couldn't afford a car yet.
Sure, of course.
We just paid for it and drove it out of the showroom. Honest girls, down to earth. Yeah, I'd like to think my wife falls in line with all that stuff. So no matter how much I try to fool you that I'm dark, dirty, twisted.
It's not true.
I keep trying to fool you, but that's kind of where it is. That's awesome.
Lynn, thank you.
Thank you.
So when Tiger Beat would say they were interviewing a star like yourself, they legitimately were. I always just assumed it was just some guy pretending.
Sometimes there's this. I think I don't know if it was Jimmy Kimmel or I think it was Kimmel who pulled out one of those magazines and tested me, and I got like 4 out of 5 wrong. So that one was. I think we spoke to Tiger Beat and 16 magazine. Those were the ones that the phone lines were open to. But
they were your
like,
Times and Newsweeks.
Yes, right. I don't know if they were the Sun-Times or the Tribune, but yeah.
Those were such awesome pictures, like you just standing there looking lovingly into the camera next to Tony DeFranco.
I know, exactly. It's just so hideous.
We all loved it.
Yeah.
All right, we have another caller that wants to talk to you. This is Dave. Hey, Dave, Ralph Macchio. He'll be at Wizard World in Rosemont today through the weekend.
Hi, Ralph. How are you?
Dave, I'm very well. How about you?
Good. Hey, did you happen to see the internet article that went out about 2 years ago that posted a theory about Karate Kid that portray Daniel as the bad guy and the instigator and the other guy as the real good guy.
Yes. Yes, I've seen the video. The guy did a good job in sort of making this sort of mockumentary type thing of the breakdown of why LaRusso is the bully and Johnny Lawrence got the short end of the stick. I think, listen, my theory on that, first of all, I think anytime they can be talking about something you did 32 years ago and it become viral and be relevant and have millions of hits is only makes me smile, because that means people are still carrying on the legacy and that movie still has affected people.
Sure.
All these decades. I think his argument doesn't hold a whole lot of water, but I get it. I get where the perspective comes from. And I think a lot of that came from some of the writers on How I Met Your Mother, who teed up that Barney, Neil Patrick Harris' character, who's always believed that the real Karate Kid was Johnny Lawrence and that LaRusso won with the most illegal kick in the history of cinema. And it's just great stuff. It goes back to the same thing. This film, it was part of people's childhoods, and they take it to heart, and the fact that they break it down and make current relevant videos,
sure,
and theories, that's pretty awesome. Although, you know, he was already fighting with his girlfriend. I didn't steal her. Come on.
Thank you, Dave.
You know what's upsetting about the girlfriend, though, is in part one, you and Elizabeth Shue, for the moviegoers, were going, well, those kids are going to be together forever. That's love forever and ever and ever.
Right.
And then in part two, no.
Yeah,
she's not there
that's
anymore.
That's when show business takes precedent over show art. I think at the end of the day, I was never a fan of that choice. It made no sense. And
yeah.
I know Elizabeth Shue, I won't speak for her, but I know she wasn't happy with the way they wrote that character off with one line of dialogue.
And then she ends up as a hooker and leaving in
Las
Vegas.
Right, right. And she gets nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't the worst worst decision. She left LaRusso at the altar and went with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, whatever.
And watched him kill himself. And
right.
Yep. Boy, that's ending on a high note, isn't
it? There we go.
Not really.
We know how to reel them in.
Such a pleasure to meet you.
It's great to be here. This is a lot of fun.
We will see you at Wizard World. Bill, you're going tonight.
Yeah,
I'm going
I'll
Saturday.
I'll see you there, man. Thanks so much. Everyone, come on down. It's a good time. It really is.
Thank you, Ralph.
Go to wizardworld.com. Do you have any social media or website that you want to plug?
I just, you know, I'm on Twitter at Ralph Macchio, and Instagram, which I do less of, which is, I don't know what I am. There's a line between the Ralph and the Macchio.
Because someone had, this guy had Ralph Macchio,
yeah,
the
right,
guy who
exactly
texted.
That's what it was.
Do you find yourself figuring out, should I put something on Instagram? Do I go with Twitter? I like Twitter a lot.
I go with Twitter much more. I got a lot of the outsider kids on Instagram because they're so young. So
mm-hmm.
I have all these, you know, 15-year-olds that I have to remind them that I'm the grandfather and unavailable. But
the Karate Grandfather.
That's right.
That's a great sequel.
But they're mainly outsiders. Right? They're just outsiders. Right? It's really funny. And they'll come up to the Comic Cons with the book, and they'll be,
all
right,
so
stay
cute.
Gold, and they have tears in their eyes, and I just have to break down it. I got to call my wife. I'll be right back. But it's very sweet. It's wonderful stuff.
Of course.
Right,
great
man.
To meet you,
thanks,
Ralph.
You too, guys.
That's Ralph Macchio at Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com. It's Bill and Wendy back after this on WGN.